PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
What a first hour of the show here tonight.
It's been fun, you know? It's been fun.
It has been. And there's still a lot more to get to. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez. At the end of the first hour, we were talking about Bill Belichick suggesting that maybe they change the name of the Lombardi Trophy to the Brady Trophy in honor of Tom Brady, which is and it's an interesting thought process, I have to say. Taking a look at our text line again, our number, 913-586-7965. 620 says, sounds like a college award for the player that did the most homework for his teammates.
Solid. That is a solid take, sir.
Sounds like the Scholar of the Year award. That's a good one. Another 620 says, Lombardi had also won a bunch of NFL championships before the Super Bowl era also. Yeah, no doubt about it. But having won the first two Super Bowls, I think, gives you a lot of reverence towards the award being named after him, right? He won the first two. He took the first two trophies back to Green Bay with him. Kind of makes sense to put him on as that one. We also, in hour one, were talking about some of our favorite or most memorable Super Bowl commercials, because Fox is reporting that some of these Super Bowl commercials are costing advertisers in upwards of $8+ million. I got one from a 785, says MC Hammer's Cheetos commercial. Can't touch this. Again, I'm a little
it's way past your time.
I'm a little young for that one.
You know,
I do. I have seen it. Right, YouTube is a tremendous resource. I have seen it, but I was not, of course, alive to see it live necessarily. We were talking about the puppy monkey baby from that Mountain Dew commercial back in, what would that been, 2016. Yeah, I got a 913 says, the dancing monkey baby was creepy as hell. I don't even remember what they were advertising. It was Mountain Dew Kickstart. We've got you. It was right around the time that they were really trying to start that, because I remember the puppy monkey baby commercial that they did for Kickstart, and then there was another one that was it was like a skateboarder guy, and there was a Kid Cudi song underneath it, and I'm a huge Kid Cudi fan. Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi, in my opinion, that's one of my five favorite albums beginning to end that I've ever listened to in my life.
I disagree with you.
Pursuit of Happiness is absolutely an unbelievable song. So there have been some good ones, no doubt about it. We had some other text messages to go to that we didn't get a chance to in hour number one. Got one here. Says, Logan, I don't listen at night very often, but from what I've heard of you and your show, you do a really good job. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I don't take compliments well, so I'm going to move on from
don't
that one fairly quickly.
You know, guys, come on, text
you line. You won't. You know? There's not enough ego to fill my spot in this chair, let alone this room. 620 talking about the parade, right? Because it was announced earlier today that they are not doing an overall celebration this time around. No rally at Union Station. He said, we need to have the parade downtown. We also need to have the tailgating at the Arrowhead parking lot. The players then parade through there and do the rally inside Arrowhead Stadium where security is controlled. I'd even pay to have that safety for my kids. I don't think that's a terrible idea, right? You start the parade in one spot and it makes its way down the complex. Now, the problem is you have to avoid the corridor there, right? Like, you don't want these guys sitting on top of parade floats going down I-70. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
So you'd have to find a different sort of way to get to Arrowhead and take that along the parade path. And then, drive through the Arrowhead parking lot and wave to everybody. And then people can buy a seat to get inside of Arrowhead for the parade in that respect. And I think that's a great point. You point out that there's going to be security there that will control it. You're going to have to walk through the metal detectors and do those sorts of things where guns and other weapons that can cause harm wouldn't be in the vicinity of something like that, right?
Are we getting into this conversation? Is that what we're doing here? What are your thoughts? Are we going to land on this as a discussion, a topic right now?
We can. My thoughts on my thoughts on not having a rally,
or just in general. Sure, that's the approach you want to take.
I mean, this is hard, right? I mean, it's a hard stance to take.
It's a hot button topic.
It is. Like we talked in hour one, I was talking about coming back up here. I worked for 4 years down in Springfield, Missouri, in that market, and I hosted our afternoon drive show. I hosted from 4 to 6, and being from Kansas City, being a massive Chiefs fan, I can remember sitting in my desk in our newsroom and watching a live stream of it from 41 Action News, right? I was watching Mick and the crew do their coverage of the parade. And I watched it happen live on my TV, right? And it just so happened that day, my co-host, who was vastly more experienced than me, especially at that time, I'd been doing the show for a year at that point, he was gone. So I was doing the show with a fill-in co-host who was younger than me, who had even less experience than I did, and I didn't know how to handle it, right? I was sad. I was upset. I was pissed. I was so angry. I mean, I was absolutely furious. I wanted to go on there and light a fire. I was going to get political on a show that wasn't, it's a sport. I wanted to do all the things. And I'm calling everybody I know in the business to try to talk me down and sort of give me a road to follow with this. Because I had so much emotion in it, I didn't know how to handle it. And that's what makes something like this hard, is because it sucks. It sucks that it's been relegated to this. But I, for the safety of those who want to be a part of it, I feel like maybe you try to find something different. I don't know if Arrowhead's the right move for it, but I think that going away from Union and not having a rally, rather, if those are your two options, was to have the rally at Union Station or to not have it at all, I think that not having it at all is the better idea.
So,
from my point of view.
So, and I don't disagree with you. I think the problem is that it's not that black and white, right? Like, so I will preface my opinion on this with, much like you, I think we all were touched in one way or another by what happened last year, right? So for my own experience, I was on stage, I was with the players, I heard the gunshots, I was in Union Station, I was hiding in the freezer in the back of the restaurant. You know, I saw all the cops coming. I was there. I lived it.
Good Lord.
I saw people on the ground. You know, I experienced it firsthand. I was stuck on the bus for 2 hours behind Union Station while they were trying to still find the active shooter. Like I was in the middle of it. That, you know, I was even on the news for it. That being said, I feel like we owe this to the people of Kansas City, right? This is something that, you know, you have diehard, lifelong fans that have supported this organization, this team, their entire lives, right? And to just say we're not going to do anything aside, and I guess too also, you're already having the parade, right? So you're already kind of putting yourself in that situation. What's the difference? You're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people lined up along the streets watching these players, you know, come down and say hi and wave. So you're already kind of putting yourself in that situation. I understand it's maybe a little bit different of a scenario, right, versus one stationary place where you're going to have even, you know, thousands and thousands of more people right, just kind of there for an extended period of time. I understand that, but it's not, it shouldn't be just a black and white, like we're not going to do it. Yes, you might not take that approach, but be creative. Think outside the box and do something else as far as maybe doing it in at Arrowhead Stadium. We're doing making it a paid event where you can have security and less people there. There's things that you can do out, you know, thinking outside the box and being creative with it that you just owe the fans of Kansas City. It, would I go to another event at a Super Bowl? I would not personally. Mm. After what I went through last year, I admit, like, it took me a few days. I was traumatized. It took me a few days to get over. I mean, it was
I can imagine.
You,
yeah.
And, you know, and at the time thinking that it was, you know, some kind of terrorist act or something like that, not just some knucklehead who lost his cool kind of thing, you know, in the moment, I was traumatized. So I would not go. I would not take my family if there was, you know, a rally at Union Station. I would not. That's personal choice.
Right.
But if it were to be something at Arrowhead where there's security, there's things that you can do, alternative things that you can do, I think, to help make it easier for not doing something like that.
I agree with you. Right. I do agree. And I think that's a strong sentiment, you know, that the fans of Chiefs Kingdom, you know, that's something that they have some, you know, earned in a certain respect. That's something that the players have earned in a certain respect. And, you know, I don't want to speak entirely out of turn here. Right. But for, you know, Lisa Lopez Galvin, the woman that was killed last year during the parade shooting, you know, you don't want that to be what she's remembered for, right? As the woman who was killed during the Super Bowl parade, and that's the reason why we don't have a rally anymore. That's horrendous. That's what I feel is wrong with this. And, you know, taking a look at our text line, we got an 816 says the parade itself is also a potential danger. He says, remember the idiot driving the car.
You already put yourself at risk. And I was there for that when I was too. Saw the car barreling down the street.
Yes.
Like, that was a scary incident.
Yeah, I was right up against the fence there at Union Station on the outside where the chairs were. And we could, I mean, I looked back. He was 20 yards from us driving down the road there. I remember that. That was the same year that some drunken buffoon decided to climb a tree, and
my sister was the paramedic for that.
Fell out of the tree and caught himself and was exposed in some respect in the tree. That was roughly 15 feet behind where I was standing with two of my friends. So yeah, there's a danger in it anywhere you look, right? And that's the difficulty of it.
Takes a few people,
right?
You know?
It only
bad apple.
It only takes one person to set off an outcome that nobody ever wants to see happen. And that's unfortunate. And you don't want to get too far into the weeds. Don't want to get too far into the political spectrum of this thing. 620 says the Sprint Center on the parade route and maybe rally there. Maybe that's a small capacity sort of place in comparison to if you were to have it at Arrowhead where you could fit 60,000-70,000 people in or more if you wanted to do standing room and that sort of thing. But, you know, Sprint Center is a much smaller capacity. What, 15, 20?
Yeah.
Inside of the T-Mobile Center, as it's called now. I still inadvertently say Sprint Center.
I know. I'll admit.
It's
the OG, you know?
I'll admit. Fine. Off the top of my head, I say Sprint Center. I can't help it. And it doesn't help that the person who sent it in spelled it out as Sprint Center, not T-Mobile. So I was just reading it verbatim and didn't think twice about it. This is a good point, right? We're all sitting here talking about these hypothetical things. Got an 816 here, says, I want to say start off by saying that I am a Chiefs fan, but it seems like everyone has already made the assumption that we have already won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, if you're superstitious, this is not the right conversation for you. And we'll try to deviate away from it here in the final 40 plus minutes of the show. But it's relevant news, right? With the announcement today that there will be no rally if the Chiefs do win the Super Bowl. When they do win the Super Bowl, as you so eloquently put it in hour one, Julio, that it's news and we have to talk about it.
I don't think this conversation necessarily, though, is stems from being cocky and assuming we're going to win the Super Bowl. I think it just more stems right from the incident that happened last year. And if this were to happen, this is a serious topic and a serious conversation that needs to be had. Because there are dangers. There are potential dangers, and it needs to be discussed.
No question about it. And for them to go about it in the way that they have, right? I mean, they didn't wait until they win the game, right? I mean, and we can do that. But from the standpoint of what happened last year and the safety perspective for those who want to attend, it was prevalent for them to handle this situation beforehand. Now it all might be a moot point, as a 620 sure, just put in the text line. It could very well be for not. We may not know, but it's, you know, better to handle it now than to try to throw things together at the last second. Got about 40 minutes left in our program here on this Thursday night after hours with Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
I think for anybody who's ever listened to me on air before, whether it was, you know, here at 96.5, whether it was during my previous stop in Springfield, knows that I am, for the most part, very much in support of the NIL and transfer portal era that we have in college football. But there are moments here or there where I think we may be going too far, or we may be going past a point of no return. And we may be quickly approaching that with a new lawsuit coming out of college football. University of Wisconsin defensive back, played corner for the Badgers for the past 2 years. His name is, and I apologize if I butcher this name, I'm just doing it to the best of my ability, Nizir Forquarin.
Sure.
Announced a lawsuit against the NCAA yesterday, alleging that his 5 years of eligibility that he has now exercised, the 2 years that he spent at Division II Grand Valley State should not have counted. So there's questions to be had here. And this is, again, like reading the story, there's some of it that I agree with and some of it I disagree with, right?
It's not
just sort of this blanket, like he played 2 years at Grand Valley and he believes because he made the leap to D1 that those 2 years shouldn't have counted, which at the surface is like, that's ridiculous because they're both NCAA levels. Yeah. I mean, like, it should absolutely count. It's not JUCO to a different, it's an NCAA sanctioned level of competition. It should count against your NCAA eligibility. But there are some, you know, some parts of this that are a little bit interesting. So he committed to Grand Valley State out of high school. He's from Mentor, Ohio. Grand Valley State, of course, is up in Michigan, and they're a very, very talented Division II college football program, playing out of the MEAC conference, I believe. They play along with like Ferris State, who's won several national championships in recent years. Very, very talented school, however. So he committed in 2019. 2020 was his first year, right? That season gets canceled because of COVID restrictions. And then in the summer of 2021, his father passed away. So he missed out on much of the offseason and like the training that goes into it and fall practice and those sorts of things because of the death of his father. He came back and he played during that 2021 season. He played in 11 games. He only played about 150 snaps. And then in 2022, He played in and started 13 games for Grand Valley. He had 4 picks and was an All-American. Then he made the move to Wisconsin. So, again, like, you know, his redshirt freshman season was more or less canceled because of COVID. Not that he was going to be playing anyway, right? But the season gets canceled in a lot of respects. So they couldn't really practice or conduct workouts.
NCAA give them that year back, I thought?
Yes, I believe they had anyway, or maybe, you know, the way that the article presents itself was that his first season was in 2020 at Grand Valley State. Now, that may have been his redshirt freshman season, so maybe 2019 was his first year when he did redshirt. I'm not entirely sure, but after that 2022 year, 22 at Grand Valley, where he was an All-American at the D2 level, then transferred to Wisconsin, started 5 games in 2023, and then this past year started all 12 games for the Badgers. So the NCAA had, back late last year in December of 24, they had approved the waiver for any player to get an extra year of eligibility for junior college transfers, right? So now he is stating that, you know, he didn't transfer from JUCO. He transferred from Division 2. So for guys in D2 or D3, could they get something like that? I think that's the premise behind this, right? I mean, yeah, there's something to be said for he missed some of the summer because of his father's passing, right? And I do not want to downplay that. But he did play. I mean, he was available during the season itself, and he did play during the season. So, I mean, the passing of his father affected his offseason, but not the season itself. And then he played a full season at Grand Valley. But somehow you're asking for 2 years of eligibility back when you've already played 2 years at an NCAA institution. This feels like the bridge too far.
Yeah.
In my view.
Yeah. I mean, not to sound insensitive, right? But I mean, it was your choice, knowing kind of where you were at, whether or not you wanted to play, knowing that that's part of your eligibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, you went into that season knowing that's the facts. Those are the rules you got to play by. I think it would set a bad precedence, right? For the NCAA, right, to then grant him these 2 years back, because then if you're allowing him these 2 years back for, say, an incident with his father passing away, again, very sorry to hear that, but where does that then, right? It's a slippery slope of, you know, whatever issues may be going on in other people's lives that may or may not affect that we all have to deal with, what issues that happen within our lives are then eligible for people to get a season back.
Mm. Yeah, it's, I mean,
if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. And we've seen that happen in some respects when a player's trying to transfer from one program to another and maintain their eligibility. They're saying, I moved closer to home because my mother is sick, or my grandmother's sick, or my father passed, or my brother passed. And sometimes the NCAA and its finite wisdom has declined some of those. Another thing you need to know about me is I am a giant NCAA hater. I do not like the NCAA.
I don't know if I've ever met an NCAA lover.
Fair point. I mean, I think the institution at its core level,
that's right,
is incredibly corrupt. And it's deplorable behavior, right? I mean, they use the adage student athlete to fool us all for 100 years when it was the biggest load of bull hockey ever devised.
Yeah.
At least in collegiate sports. But, you know, from the standpoint of non-NCAA schools like junior colleges or NAIA schools, and a kid transfers to an NCAA institution, okay, I could somewhat understand maintaining your eligibility. But to play at a Division II or a Division III school and then go to D1, that's an NCAA institution. Like, that doesn't. So are you just saying we're all going to have 4 years of eligibility everywhere? So a kid can play 4 years at a D3 and then go play 4 years at a D2 and then play 4 years at a D1 and he's got 12 years. I mean, that's loot. We've already got guys playing. I mean, there's dudes that were my age. I'm 26, almost 27 years old. Yeah. Bo Nix. My favorite stat of the 2024 college football season was that Bo Nix and Joe Burrow played each other in college.
It's crazy.
sixth-year pro Joe Burrow.
What are we doing here?
Played against Bo Nix in college. That is wild. That's where we're at now. I mean, there was the tight end at Miami. I cannot remember his name. He was 26 years old. Right? And there have been guys 26, 27, 28 years old playing college football, but they're like rugby players from Australia that came over at 24 to punt, or like Brandon Whedon, you know, back 10, 15 years ago at Oklahoma State, yep, who was a minor league baseball player and then got out of baseball and went to school at Oklahoma State to play quarterback, and he was 28 years old. These guys are 26, 27, have been in playing college football since they were 18. These guys are like 7, 8, 9 years of eligibility, and it's like, dude, stop trying to learn a playbook and start trying to learn a credit services union or something. I mean, like, learn the banking industry at this point.
Yeah, it's not anyone's fault that you were maybe not quite good enough to be at a D1 school, and now that you've matured a little bit more and had a little bit more experience under your belt, and you're much older than these other D1 athletes, that now you can compete on the same level. I mean, it's just not fair.
Yeah. I am very much a supporter and a proponent of the transfer portal and NIL. I believe that a player should be able to earn money off of their name, image, and likeness. I believe that if a player has an opportunity to go to a different school and make more money, they are within their legal right in this country, in a capitalist society, to go do that. Because isn't that what all of us do? Right? If the job that you're currently working right now, another company came to you and said, hey, you can come work for us and do the exact same thing you're doing, and we'll double your salary. You
sign me up.
Yeah, most of us would do that. You'd be kind of foolish not to, in some respect. So that's how it works in the job market and the job world in the United States for the rest of us. Why shouldn't it work for somebody who's making millions of dollars for an institution at an athletic level in college sports? But there do need to be some guardrails, right? There do need to be some measures within this. And I think college football or college athletics now getting rid of the national letter of intent, I think, is an interesting step, I believe, in the right direction, because now you can enter into contractual obligations and contract negotiations where, hey, you will earn X amount of dollars for, you know, if you spend 2 years with the program, or if you spend 3 years with the program, you'll earn X amount of dollars. If you decide to transfer, or if you declare for the, you know, do you declare for the draft, then no harm, no foul. But if you transfer to a different institution, then you are now in default of your contract, and here's this, or you may be required to pay back X amount of dollars, whatever it might be.
An accountability factor. There has to be one.
Yes, because right now these guys are moving around willy-nilly.
It's the Wild West right now, man.
Kids are transferring year after year after year after year after year, assuming that the grass is going to be greener on the other side, and for a lot of them it isn't. So I think there need to be some guardrails put in place, not only for the overall protection of the institution and the athletic department, but I also think there need to be some guardrails in place for the players themselves. Yes, they're adults, but they're 18 to 22 year old adults, right? I think we can all recall being 18 to 22 years old and can put our hands up in the air and say, yeah, we didn't know, you know, I didn't always make the right decision, right? Like, I made some bad choices from 18 to 22. And for some of these kids who decide that they're going to transfer from one school to another thinking it's going to be great and it doesn't work out, that's a tremendous amount of regret for somebody to live with. So maybe having some of those guardrails in place and making, you know, saying, hey, you know, it didn't work out for you this year, but you've got next year, just continue to power through, continue to work, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I think that this, I understand where he's coming from and, you know, the passing of his father, and that's tough, right? And like you said, don't want to be insensitive to that fact. But to try to get 2 years of eligibility back when you really only lost a summer at a Division II institution, it feels very disingenuous. I would agree. 913-586-7965 is our number. You can call in or you can send us a message on the text line through that same number, 913-586-7965. We've got other news and notes to get to. We've got some news surrounding the Kansas City Royals, another big signing in Major League Baseball, and a few more little NFL news and notes that I want to pass along to you here on After Hours with Logan Weber and producer Julio Sanchez here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Wow. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
There's a common phrase that they use in Major League Baseball circles that say you can't have too many arms. Well, I think the Royals are kind of taking that process to heart here this offseason. Yesterday, it was or last night, they announced the signing of Carlos Estevez to a 2-year deal. Estevez had spent last year with the Philadelphia Phillies, or a portion of last year. He was traded by the Angels to the Phillies. Last year, he finished with those two teams. He had a 2.45 ERA in 54 games. The year prior to that, as a member of the Los Angeles Angels, he had a 3.9 ERA in 63 games pitched. He has a combined 57 saves over the past two seasons. And, you know, during that stretch, he has been one of the better relievers in Major League Baseball. Wasn't an all-star last year, despite the fact that he had better numbers at the all-star break than he did in 2023, but I digress. He is 32 years old, signing a 2-year deal with the Kansas City Royals as they continue to try to solidify that bullpen. I think that they have done that. I love the pairing of like him with Lucas Ersig and some of the other weapons that they've got there in that Royals pen. I'm still kind of hoping and waiting and seeing if they'll try to sign a right fielder or maybe trade for a right fielder. I felt all offseason that that was their biggest need, was the outfield. I think if they could get a right fielder, that would be absolutely fantastic, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. I was kind of waiting. I kept hearing a bunch of rumors about Jurickson and Profar, and, you know, could he be brought into Kansas City? And, of course, that doesn't happen. So I don't know. Profar ends up with the Mets, and, you know, I you know, in a dream world, I was like, oh, I think Anthony Santander would fit this lineup so well. But the amount of money that he got paid, there's no way the Royals were shelling that out. Toronto paid a pretty penny for Anthony Santander.
Look, there's still time. We can complain, right, after once free agency is done with. Then we can complain. There is still some time, and there's still some hope. But I think with this signing, writing may be on the wall that, hey, that since that is not going to happen, right, with getting the outfielder that we were looking for, maybe take a similar approach to last year and kind of bulk up on the arms.
I mean, right now, at least according to MLB.com and SpotTrack, the top right fielder that is still an available free agent is Jason Hayward.
Does he do it for you?
He's 35, so that's the first
he's experienced,
thing.
You know,
yeah, he is a well-oiled veteran at this point. He is coming off of the worst statistical, or I shouldn't say the worst, the second worst statistical year of his career, in which he played in 63 games for the Dodgers and then played for the Astros for 24. So he played in 87 games this past year. He hit .211 with a .288 on-base percentage, 10 home runs, 37 RBIs, walked 22 times to 53 strikeouts. So, I mean, he had 48 hits this past season. He had 53 strikeouts.
I don't think we need another one of those, right?
I don't think so. I mean, he's gone to one All-Star game. That was his rookie year in 2010. He's a good glove. I mean, at least he was, you know, back in his heyday. Won 5 gold gloves in right field, so pretty outstanding fielder there in right. But you need a bat, I would say, right? I mean, you've got a great center fielder in Kyle Isbell that can cover a lot of ground. And so I think that in right field, you need somebody who can bring you another 20 plus home runs and 80 plus RBIs. That's what you need, at least in my opinion, right? Somebody that you can throw in there in the lineup to pair with Bobby and Vinny Pasquantino and Salvi and let things ride a little bit, right? And even Jonathan India, who I think could be a tremendous leadoff hitter for this Royals team, especially when he's hitting ahead of Bobby Witt, and then Bobby's hitting ahead of, theoretically, Vinny, and then Vinny's hitting ahead of Salvador Perez, and then maybe you can slide in somebody, some right fielder, to, you know, to slot into that fifth spot in the lineup and play right field to kind of protect Salvi a little bit. That makes the top half of that lineup one of the better 1-5s in Major League Baseball, along with a really good starting pitching rotation featuring that big three of Lugo and Reagans and Waka, and then a top half bullpen in Major League Baseball as well, especially with the signing of Carlos Estevez to give you even more, especially velocity coming out of the pen, right? Because the Royals starting pitching, outside of maybe Chris Bubich, if he becomes that fourth or fifth starter, and I guess Cole Reagans to some extent, but like Lugo doesn't throw heat. Waka doesn't throw heat. Lorenzen doesn't throw heat. So if you've got guys that have good command and have great breaking stuff, and then you can bring in relievers that throw gas that are hitting triple digits or damn near triple digits, that's an interesting dynamic. But I still think for this team to kind of take that next step and for me to slot them as the favorite to win for them to be the AL Central favorite, in my view, this team needs a right fielder that can hit you 20 home runs and drive in 80 RBIs, or a guy that can hit, you know, 250, 260 and has a 350 OBP to allow runs to be driven in by other guys in the lineup. I think that is what takes you to the favorite to win the AL Central. I think they're a playoff team as of right now.
It does. I totally agree with you. The problem is, just like we talked about, it's not really out there. So I guess it is it it's a smart move by on their part, right? To especially bolster that bullpen. I mean, thinking in terms of some of those guys in the rotation up front, I think it's fair to say maybe overperformed a little bit to a certain degree as far as expectations go. So what are the chances they do that again this year? So kind of bolstering that bullpen, knowing maybe that starting rotation, a couple of those guys maybe take a little bit of a step back, come down to earth maybe a little bit, right? Seth Lugo, that kind of thing.
Right.
They do need some offense, man. That was the problem, last year, especially going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and there's some guys on this Royals team this year. One in particular that, I mean, this is sort of like a put up or shut up kind of year, in my opinion, for MJ Melendez.
Right? I thought he would be traded, Don. Quite honestly,
if he's going to be your guy in left field, which by all indications it seems like he will be. It's put up or shut up, MJ, right? There's been a lot of news made in the last couple of weeks because he's changed his swing or at least his stance at the plate. You know, it's a lot more of a closed stance versus the open stance that he had before. It was sort of staggered. It's put up or shut up time, MJ. You got to make something happen, right? I keep waiting for Kyle Isbell to become a slightly better hitter. Kyle Isbell is there for his glove and center, right? I'm never expecting Kyle Isbell to be a guy who is Lorenzo Cain, hitting 280, 290, bordering on 300 with 20 home runs and 85 RBIs. But in a perfect world for me, if MJ Melendez could be a guy who hits 260, he has a 330, 340 OBP, tremendous glove in center field. He's got good speed. And that's the thing, right? If he's got a 250 or 260 batting average, he's a guy that could steal 20 or 30 bases. So the more he can get himself on base, I think the better. I don't ever think he's going to be a guy that hits 20 plus bombs and hits, 80 plus, drives in 80 plus runs. I just don't see that. You know, Mikel Garcia showed it in big spurts, big flashes, right? He would go 11 of 17 in a series, and then the next series he was 2 for 18, and you're like, where's the consistency? Where's the consistency, Mikel? And then I'm very excited about the possibility of maybe this season you see Salvador Perez become more of an everyday DH and letting Freddie Fermin stay behind the dish, because Freddie Fermin was a welcome surprise for the Kansas City Royals this past year.
Again, another, I think, that overperformed a little bit. So the question is then, does he continue that into this upcoming season?
Is
that something you can depend on?
Yeah, there's a few of those guys, right? Like you mentioned Waka and Lugo. Freddie Fermin is another one of those guys. So can they continue to sustain? Is Salvi's another year older? Can we expect Salvi to hit 270 with 27 home runs and 104 RBIs like he did a season ago? I don't know. Maybe if he's an everyday DH and he's got less wear and tear on his body, I think that becomes a much more likely scenario. Here's hoping that we can get a full, healthy season out of Vinny Pasquantino. But, and I hadn't, I kind of forgotten this name inadvertently here a little bit. Is there a possibility for the Royals for Michael Massey to be your everyday right fielder this season? Because you traded for Jonathan India as part of the Brady Singer deal, so seemingly India is going to be your everyday second baseman. Michael Massey is more known more as a utility sort of guy, but that's a dude who hit 294 in 100 games last year. Can he play right field every day? I don't think he's a guy that you can necessarily slide into the five hole, but if you want to put him in the sixth spot and let Fermin maybe hit fifth, I don't know, but I'm curious to see what the Royals decide to do at right field this year. Is it going to be Massey? Is it going to be somebody else? That's an interesting question. 913-586-7965 is our number. 785 said that the MC Hammer commercial was in 2020, so it wasn't a lifetime ago. You want to think a long time, think about Herding Cats in 2000. I can never remember who it was for, but it was great. Let me Google that real quick. But yeah, the more I think about it now, It was. It was like it started out like a guy was in an office and he was eating Cheetos and like his boss walked up to him with a set of papers or like paperwork to go through. And he like put his hand up because he had Cheeto dust all over it. And then MC Hammer starts doing, you know, can't touch this. And the guy goes to different sort of things. One of them was like a trust fall with his boss and he couldn't catch his boss because he had Cheeto dust on his fingers. I do vaguely remember that commercial, but I'm trying to find this Herding Cat Super Bowl commercial back in 2000. Was this Ed's? It was for Electronic Data Systems, EDS. Alluding to the management speak idiom, it's like herding cats. Okay. Using a giant Western metaphor, it featured grizzled cowboys herding thousands of cats across the Montana prairie. Interesting. Oh, Bill Clinton said that was his favorite Super Bowl commercial that year. In January of 2000. All right. Cool, Bill. I was almost two at the time that would have aired in January of 2000.
Really showing your age here.
It's, you know, sometimes I feel old. Sometimes I don't. I had a kid run over me, clip me on the ankles with a cart at Hy-Vee a couple weeks ago. Kid couldn't have been any more than like 12 or 13 years old, right? Clips me in the heels with the back of his car because he's not paying attention. And he looks at me with like that sad face, right? And he's like, I'm so sorry, sir. And I could feel my back tighten when he called me sir. How dare you? I'm still in my mid-20s. Don't call me sir. And it doesn't help that I look 15, right? I don't know
welcome
if you
to the club.
I don't know if you saw the face. I don't That's know if fine. You saw the like the welcome thing that they put on Facebook for me.
Yeah.
I was getting roasted in the Facebook. I had one guy that was like, "What time slot is he going to be on?" And some other guy commented and said, "Probably in the afternoons when the bus drops him off after school." And I was like,
"Look, that's a solid.
That's
a solid
good
burn.
Way. It
you
was.
Know,
I thought it was
burn.
Funny, right? Like I had some people, that. Like friends and family, that were like upset by it, and I'm like." Folks, it is what it is. And some of it was funny, right? Like some guys, like, is he even old enough to shave or whatever? And some of them were how old is this kid?
You got some pretty smooth skin there. You know, I'm not going to lie.
It is what it is, man. Right. And everybody tells me I'm going to love it when I'm older, but I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get carded till I'm 50.
Look, man, it took me 40 years to get this and I'm still not all the way there. So don't feel bad. You know,
we'll see what happens. Everybody. It's got its good and its bad. No question about it. 913 says, are the Royals done with MJ? I think I'm over him. I think there are a lot of people in the Royals fan base that sure. agree with that. But from the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like the Royals are right. For me, I always felt like, it was so quick for them to take him from a catcher to a left fielder and then throw him into the big leagues, right? I don't feel like they gave him ample opportunity in the minor league system to make that transition because he was a catcher. He was always a catcher from the time he was a kid to when the Royals signed him. He always caught. And then they move him over to left field, and within maybe 18 months of becoming a left fielder, he's in left field for the Royals. It felt so fast. Because Salvi had this sort of resurgence during the COVID year, and then you got Freddie Fermin, who's kind of come into his own as a catcher a little bit, and he's a great fielding catcher. So they had to find somewhere else for him, and I think MJ's kind of struggled with that a little bit. We ran kind of long on this segment, so we'll take a break, come back very, very briefly here to close things out. This is After Hours with Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Some good news out of the NFL today. It's a dangerous sport, football. We all know it, right? And it seems like in recent years there have been a lot more injuries, especially like non-contact sort of injuries in the NFL. I think some of that can be associated with the 17-game regular season, but Bit of nice news surrounding the National Football League today as they announced the total number of concussions that were reported. I think that's an important distinction, right?
There.
Yes, these were the total number of concussions that were reported to the NFL this year. 182, which is the lowest number of concussions reported in a single season in the NFL since they started tracking the data back in 2015.
Wow.
182, which is a 17% drop from last year in 2023. The previous low for the same period was 187 back in 2022. They did not count the COVID season as a part of this because there was no preseason games due to the restrictions and protocols and things like that. The five-year average is right around 211.4.
You know what it is, right? It was those god-awful, ugly-looking Guardian caps. That's what it was, you know? That's what I chalk it up to.
Could be. Could be, right? I mean, I know people that very much despise the Guardian caps, and I know some people...
If they work, they work, man.
Yeah, I mean, if they feel comfortable wearing it, wear it, right? I mean, it's a personal preference thing. Like, my younger brother, who played football in college, and, you know, he very much despises... like the Guardian caps. He thinks they look stupid. Right?
I mean, they do look ridiculous. I mean, makes me feel safe, you know?
Yeah, my younger brother has the Deion Sanders approach of like look good, feel good, play good sort of a thing. Fair. He thinks they look bad, so he doesn't like them. And he's like, you know, does the science really support it? And I'm like, I don't give a damn if the science does or doesn't.
Right.
If they feel comfortable wearing, if it makes them feel safer, I'm all for it, right? Maybe don't make it a blanket rule that everybody in the league has to wear one if they don't want to. But if you want to wear it, wear it. And the all fact that you've got a season low over this 10-year stretch of concussions, I think is a very good sign. The NFL's chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, said, quote, "We're very pleased with the concussion numbers, but not at all suggesting that the work is anywhere near done. We still have a lot to do to continue to make the game safer and reduce not only concussions, but to reduce avoidable head impact." And yeah, I mean, how much of this, you know, there was only 182 reported concussions, but there may have been some that weren't necessarily reported. I mean, goodness, look at that.
That could be said for every year, though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at the cornerback for the Bills, right, who played in the game. Bernard, was that his name? His last name? Who, you know, had the concussion. They said that he had passed concussion protocol. And then the first time he hit somebody, it looked like he didn't know what planet he was on. He looked like he was in a, like he didn't know what timeline he was a part of. I mean, it looked like he was hearing shapes and seeing sounds sort of when he got that knock on his head. So had he completely passed the protocol? I mean, like, you know, there's things that need to be question to some extent, but I think that's a good sign that concussions year over year down in the National Football League, even with the 17 game schedule, seems like the technology and the teaching is at least helping to prevent this in some respect. Julio, the first time we did this show together, this did not click in my head. I was like, oh, little Simon and Garfunkel.
See,
that's great.
See what I did there?
And then the second time, right as we were ending the show, I was like, oh, I get it now. Yeah, me and Julio.
We all got to have a signature.
Me and Julio finishing up After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We out.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO, YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at Ring.com.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.